Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is reaction to the Jam Miller injury sustained during Saturday scrimmage at the University of Alabama. Upper extremity injury. Struggled with that. It's early. We're live, by the way. It is a Sunday night, so everybody jump on board here. We welcome your thoughts, questions, comments, you name it, as we move throughout this impromptu get-together here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Our guy Tex Tider already in the comments. He says, howdy, TR. Movie night. Catch you on the flip side. All right. All right, Tex. We're kind of figuring out who the real ones are real quick, Tex. But as always, Tex does a nice job here on the channel, reminding everyone to hit us with a thumbs up, hit us with a like, subscribe to the channel if you get a chance, and turn on those notifications so you are alerted to all the content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. But again, typically with scrimmages, no news, real news is good news. And unfortunately for the Alabama Crimson Tide and Jam Miller, there was news following Saturday's scrimmage at Bryant-Denny Stadium. As we now know, the senior running back, Jam Miller, going to be out for what seems like, or would tend to lead you to believe, an extended period of time. Kalen DeBoer stating that Jam had undergone a procedure, I guess, to help with the process that he's going to be going through. Accounts of a collarbone injury during the scrimmage. I have broken my right collarbone, right clavicle, twice in my lifetime. And either time, it wasn't a lot of fun. And certainly, I wasn't a football player like a Jam Miller. But it is 2025. There are technological advancements, medical advancements. So perhaps the injury, whatever the specific be for Jam Miller, he can kind of move that thing along. And, you know, there are some silver linings in this situation. Obviously, you lose your trusted, tried and true option at the running back position. You know, Jam, probably more so than anything in terms of documented statistical production, you lose that security blanket, that guy you knew you could count on, especially with an opener like he got against Florida State coming up in a couple of Saturdays. So maybe even more so from a trust perspective, you feel like with Jam Miller in there, if it's 3rd and 8 and you're going to get a house blitz, or you're going to get maybe a zone pressure where, you know, that defense is going to try to fool you. And Florida State now moving to a 3-3-5. So 3-3-5, you can get pressure looks coming from anywhere. You know, you want to feel like you're solid with that back that's in the game to know first and foremost who to pick up and then be able to execute it again from a protection perspective. So, you know, that's where I think the biggest concern comes in. And also just knowing the book, you know, knowing where to line up. And that's where, you know, Ty Simpson might have to help next guy up. But here's the thing too. Your options at running back at Alabama, it's not like there's 4 true freshmen, you know, waiting in the wings. You've got multiple guys who have multiple years of experience in the system. You know, Daniel Hill, been around a couple of years. Kevin Riley, been around a couple of years now. Dre Washington hasn't been at Alabama, but this is a veteran guy. And so, you know, when you think about the opportunities that he had at Louisiana Lafayette, statistically, he was very impressive. He wasn't much more than a 90 carry guy in any of those seasons at Lafayette, but you look at the yards per carry and it's all 5.5 or north, you know, kind of a career 6 yard per carry guy. So in terms of playmaking ability, you got to think he can give you that. Daniel Hill's going to give you some size, going to give you some thump. So you might have to be more situational in your approach. You know, I mean, it sounded like even before this injury and listening to Ryan Grubb last week talking about the backs, or here recently anyway, there were going to be two or three backs. And that's pretty standard at a place like Alabama. It's been that way for years. It's never been really a one-back situation. Now, Derrick Henry in 2015 was kind of the exception to that because he had almost 400 carries in 15 games. You just haven't had any Alabama back close to that. You know, I guess Mark Ingram 2009 was more the feature back, but you still had Trent Richardson in 2009. So it's always been at least two backs, and with the possibility of three being a part of that. So, you know, that's where it's next guy up. And that's where it's Daniel Hill and Dre Washington, you know, and how you work down that list. Where the concern comes in is that you don't need another one to one of those top three or four guys that were in that rotation before this injury. You know, you saw it last year. Remember last year with Texas? Well, that was rough. I mean, the Longhorns lost a couple of backs before the season opener. Now, the flip side of that is a guy like Trey Wisner benefited and flourished. And so now with C.J. Benson back at Texas a year later, you've got C.J. Benson and Trey Wisner. You got a hell of a 1-2 punch. The silver lining, another one of those with Jam Miller, is that it doesn't sound like this is season ending. You know, perhaps he can get back and, I don't know, you know, more than a month or so. You know, I would say realistically with that type of injury and the type of sport that he's playing, you know, anything less than a month would be borderline miraculous. But, you know, when he does come back at full health and you don't want to rush him because there's the possibility you could lose one or two of the guys you got left. So it could coincide with his return that you get him back just in time because you've already sustained another injury or two, something you don't want to think about. Texas A&M last year, what was it? Reuben Owens before the season ending injury, had a couple of other guys that stepped up for the Aggies. So it goes back to what we've talked about before here on the channel. Whenever you think you've got too many backs, you probably have just enough. And if you think you've got the right number of backs, you're probably one or two short. A few years ago at Alabama, he had Demoy Kennedy, a linebacker, late in that one season, 2021, 2022, something like that. You know, taking reps at running back. You had wide receivers working at running back that season because that's what you were kind of down to from a health perspective. But Richard Young, Daniel Hill, Dre Washington, Kevin Riley, Richard Young's been around for a couple of years. Hill now has been around for a couple of years or going into his second year. Same for Kevin Riley. A.K. Deer, at least going into the season, I wouldn't anticipate maybe as much from the true freshman. Certainly has a lot of explosiveness and playmaking ability, but it kind of goes back to what we talked about from the outset of tonight's show and that, you know, there's things off the ball that I'm sure A.K. is still trying to figure out as it relates to maybe some pass protection. And those type of things. So we are open to your comments on this Sunday night. Let's see if we can work through some of those. We've got RTR Mimi. I just wanted Jam to have an awesome senior season. I'm sure next man up will take care of the team. Just sad for Jam. Very well put, Mimi, because you know, it's ironic in some ways that Florida State is the opener because Roydell Williams, former Alabama back, is at Florida State. And, you know, Roydell's had an injury here in the last year. So he's trying to get back himself. and to where he needs to be going into that opener against his old team in the Crimson Tide. And absolutely, every time there is an injury like this, that is immediately my sentiment too. I feel worse for the player than I do anyone else because of the work and the effort and everything that goes into getting ready. And, you know, how Jam had progressed over the years at Alabama and looked to be very much that top option. But even with Jam, I still think there were going to be two or three backs involved. And it goes back to the portal activity too, because we've talked about this in relation to, you know, we heard Jaden Roberts out for the scrimmage this past Saturday, second straight scrimmage he's missed as a result of concussion protocol. But, you know, going to the portal for an interior offensive lineman like Cam Dewberry looked a lot smarter, you know, once Jaden was out for a couple of scrimmages. And now, you know, with Dre Washington from Louisiana, it looks like a really good move made by Courtney Morgan and this staff. So, yeah, we've got Philip Thomas checking in right here in the comments. I always thought, Philip said, we would attack this season with a running back by committee standpoint. This further solidifies that. Yeah, you know, like we talked about, it was always going to be multiple backs. I think with Jam, what you like was the veteran presence, not only going into games, but day-to-day on the practice field, kind of a tempo setter every day for Rob Gillespie, meeting room, practice field. And look, good thing about Rob Gillespie is he's going to bring a lot of that on his own. You know, he doesn't require a lot of help in that regard, but it is always more effective when you've got players role modeling that or bringing it in terms of their commitment to standards and, you know, a level of excellence. So yeah, I think this doesn't really change anything in terms of the thought process going into the season that there were going to be multiple backs involved. Great opportunity for Richard Young, great opportunity for Daniel Hill. It'll just be interesting for me, more so than anything, to see who starts the game. Who are you comfortable enough with to put out there to start games? Because like we talked about, there's some guys with some experience in the program, but opening day at Florida State on the road, who are you going to be most comfortable with in that scenario to go out there with your first time starter at the quarterback position? And part of the silver lining in this too is you've got time. You know, this isn't game week, so you're going to have some time to ramp up those guys. And look, if you thought you had three guys that you felt good about going into Florida State, that's going to change. This is going to change that a little bit because now you've got two. And so, you know, if it's Richard Young, Daniel Hill, Dre Washington, Kevin Riley, some combination of those three is going to have to be that trio. And between those four, there are capable options. You know, as I said earlier, I think there's an ability to sort of complement each other in that group. You know, you've got a big back in Daniel Hill. You've got a bigger back, not bigger than Daniel Hill, but Richard Young, size and power doesn't seem to be a problem for him. And then you've got a guy that I talked about earlier that can go get you chunks, you know, in the run game, in Dre Washington. You know, it probably puts Kevin Riley more on notice a little bit for the opener than otherwise would be the case. But yeah, that's what you're looking at in terms of the running back position. And what happens too is you start looking at already Florida State in terms of matchups. And Florida State has a couple of linebackers that should be fairly formidable. Now, with Florida State, it takes some research because it seems like the roster flips almost entirely now on an annual basis under Mike Norvell. But Omar Graham is a solid running back that's back for the Seminoles at that one spot. And then Elijah Herring is a linebacker that Florida State brought in via the transfer portal huge year at Memphis last year. I think he had 150 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 6 sacks. And he's another veteran type. So Graham and Herring are veteran linebackers. And there's also another familiar name that could come up in this matchup. He's more of a DB, but it sounds like in terms of how Earl Little Jr. is going to be used this season in that 3-3-5, he's going to be sort of a Husky type, or a safety type that's a rover kind of up in there in the box from time to time. So be prepared for that as well with the former Alabama DB, now Florida State Seminole DB, Earl Little Jr. So, yep, it'll be interesting to kind of see where this moves. Scott Jackson checking in here in the chat says it's a cruel twist of fate. It really is, because Justice Haynes moves on. You know, and here's the thing about movement. You can't have you can't what if it, right? You can't, well, what if Justice Haynes had stayed? It felt like Justice Haynes was leaving no matter what. What you liked about, what you will continue to like about Jam Miller, again, is a sort of grit and toughness that serves you well down in and down out. Not a huge home run hitter all the time. Last two seasons didn't average 5+ yards per carry, more 4.5 to 4.9. But consistency, you didn't worry about as much. here we go. We've got a question. This isn't on topic with Jam Miller, but we've got some time tonight. So it was interesting to hear Kalen DeBoer. I'll get into some of that, I guess, too, in relation to his comments post-scrimmage about Connor Talty. And doesn't seem to kick as well in the stadium, which unfortunately is where the games are going to be played. Kicks pretty well over at the facility, but sounds like you get him in the stadium and he's had some struggles. But, you know, that's Brian Denny. Maybe he'll kick. Maybe James, he'll kick just fine at Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee in a couple. I said this a few weeks ago here on the channel. You could tell me Connor Talty was perfect in the preseason, and my response would continue to be until August the 30th at about 7:00 Eastern. I need to see what he does in front of a crowd and, you know, in that type of environment. And you can tell me, well, he did kickoffs last year. Kickoffs and field goals are not even close. I mean, kickoffs and field goals, it's like kickoffs are like the driving range, to use a golf analogy, right? You go to the driving range, you've got this wide range out there. You can just let it rip. You know, there's no water. There's no bunkers. When you're kicking field goals, that's when you got to hit fairways, so to speak. You got to hit greens. You got to Scotty Scheffler it. That seems appropriate after what we saw from Scotty again today. So that's where that doesn't really work for me that much, when you tell me a guy did kickoffs the previous year. You know, and I know he's had a few opportunities, but it's a tough gig. Absolutely. I've done it. And, you know, I know that kickers are the butt of the jokes a lot of times, but, you know, that sniper mentality, I think we heard Nick Saban talk about it. You got to live in your own world. People always say kickers are in their own world. Well, they damn sure almost have to be, because it's totally different. It is, than a lot of guys. You can be the left guard and whiff and no one know it except your position coach in a position meeting. You miss a 34 yarder from the right hash in a tie game with 2 minutes to go. You best believe plenty of people are going to notice it. You know, you don't have to be a ball knower to know when someone misses from 33 in a tie game. So we'll see. You know, the punting situation too. We'll see how that shakes out. But those are probably as big a concerns as you have, to go along with, you know, some of the running back stuff. I still feel good about the depth there at running back. I think there is the potential, as I said earlier, to kind of complement those three or four guys that you go into the Florida State game with. You still have plenty of talent. Nobody's going to cry a river for Alabama about an injury at running back, given the history of that position at UA. And again, what you don't want is for another one of these in the next 2 weeks. And it's tough because you take every precaution in the preseason to protect your players. You know, you really don't go to the ground or anything unless it's very limited 11-on-11 work during the week and then the two scrimmages. But clavicles, just for the sake of discussion, without knowing the exact injury that Jam has, I've broken mine twice, and it never had anything to do with a hit or any impact like that. Both of mine, it was weight that caused it. You can fall on your arms, and the weight from that can do damage to a clavicle, collarbone, whatever you want to call it. Otherwise, what we heard from the scrimmage sounds about like what you would want, other than the Miller injury. You don't like hearing maybe that James Smith is still out, but you have some guys kind of like running back there too. And you've got guys that are there that can step up. You've got some young guys that we might be surprised to see in that opener. Rotational type options, not just if things get in command for Alabama, that you see later in the game. So there's always in openers those three or four guys that a lot of people didn't see coming. You know how that secondary shakes out, really, across the corner and Husky positions in that opener against Florida State. I would think the safeties are pretty well set with Bray Hubbard and Keon Sabb, but you know there's some combinations, and we've heard from Kane Womack. If he's comfortable playing two, three, four corners, he's going to play them. He's going to rotate those corners against Florida State. And, you know, Florida State has added some new names there at the wide receiver position. When we think about that matchup, Deuce Robinson comes in from USC. Deuce Robinson, 6'6", I want to say. Yeah, 6'6", 225 pounds now. Going to be on the outside for Florida State in that season opener. And you got Squirrel White coming in from Tennessee. And there's a freshman for Florida State. We'll get more in these matchups as it gets closer that probably hasn't been talked about enough to this point. He came in with Gus. He was a UCF commitment that Florida State flipped when Gus went from UCF to FSU. Javon Boggs. He's a guy that with White and Robinson, you're going to have, you know, a real playmaker potentially in Squirrel. Javon Boggs is going to be sort of that next guy that you can play in the slot. You can play him outside. And then Deuce Robinson going to be that guy that you're going to try to take advantage, I'm sure, of some matchups, which, again, boy, the transfer portal just makes for some wild matchups of guys who were, you know, teammates at previous stops, because Deuce at USC, he played with Dominic Jackson at USC. So they were former teammates, I believe. Domani Jackson, excuse me, at make sure they were there together. Domani Jackson and Deuce Robinson at USC. You know, and then you got the guys, Roydell, Earl Little Jr., that were at Alabama, you know, that are going to be in that thing, in that season opener against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Anything else, gang, before we get out of there? Those are just some quick thoughts. Wanted to jump on, talk about it a little bit on a Sunday night. Hope everybody's had a great weekend. And I thought Mimi said it best earlier. You continue to just pull for Jam to get well. don't need to rush anything, though. It is a long season. So one of the real silver linings in all this, I talked about some of the injuries from last year for teams like Texas and Texas A&M. Those were more the season-ending variety. That doesn't seem to be the case with Jam and with the wear and tear on these backs. You know, it could be that you get him back exactly when you really need him the most. And that would be the hope, of course. Hey, if you enjoy the content here on Ryer on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. We're going to have Chase Goodbread back on with us on Talking Tide coming up here in the next day or so. And we will also have Second Helping SEC show with Brent Beard coming up in the next few days. And as always, appreciate you folks for joining us live on a Sunday night. Travis Ryer thanking you once again. And until next time, so long, everybody.